Hey, you guys, Flickers of Fear time. This time around, I'm talking about one that just kind of came to Shudder not too long ago. This is actually a very, very recent movie. Came out 2021, at least that was the date that was on it. So I'm why should I question that? I don't know. But yeah, so this is apparently the directorial debut of a woman named Corinna Faith. This is actually a British film, and it's called The Power. Now, when I went to research this movie, I discovered that there's also another movie. I believe it's an Indian movie, it's in Hindi, and it is also called The Power, and it also came out in 2021. So don't get confused. It's like just two. I don't know if that one's any good because I haven't seen it, but this is the British one that I'm talking about that's on Shudder. I don't know if it's on the UK Shudder. I imagine it probably is because it's a British film, but it's on the American Shudder as well, and I decided I would give it a watch. So this movie is set in 1974. And apparently around this time, I had heard of this before, like, historically, but I didn't know a great deal about it. But I guess like from late 1973 to early 1974, there were some disputes between labor unions and the government over, various coal things, and that was kind of like a lot of the things that supplied power, to much of the public. So I guess during this several month period, there were all of these sort of rolling blackouts. Like they would turn off everyone's electricity at night, like usually in the middle of the night, just to conserve electricity. That's the time period that we're looking into here. So the title, The Power, is talking about the electricity being off, obviously too, but as usually happens in these kind of situations, it also has kind of a double meaning, which we'll get into in a little bit. So the main character of this story is a young nurse named Valerie or Val. She's kind of, I guess she's pretty fresh out of nursing school. This is her first job. She was an orphan. She didn't know who her parents were. She grew up in this kind of an orphanage or whatever that's in this sort of real poor neighborhood. So her first job is working at this infirmary, a hospital in this same neighborhood. And she's kind of a mousy character. She's very quiet. She's very by the book. She's a good girl, quintessential. And she really, really feels like she went into nursing because she seemed like she genuinely wanted to help the human race in general. And she really wants to help poor people in her neighborhood where she grew up, particularly because, as I said, she had grown up an orphan herself, so she knew the hardships that a lot of other people had. And she seemed very good-hearted, so she wants to kind of give something back to her own neighborhood, her own community. So she starts working at this hospital. Now, the very first day that she gets there, the matron, who's kind of a hard ass, a little bit, kind of takes a disliking to her, but I guess according to what everybody else says there, it's like she doesn't really like anybody either. But she's like a big kind of stickler for the rules. And she's basically says to Val, it's like, you fuck up one time and you're out on your ass. We have like tons of other people that could work here, so quit your bitching, basically. She doesn't say that exactly, but there's kind of a lot of stuff at the beginning where she's trying to do really well. This is her first job. Like I said, she's very excited about getting to work in this field because it's kind of like her dream field. And she very quickly begins to realize, not only because the matron is kind of, shitty and brusque toward her, but also she sort of very quickly learns her place on the totem pole, I guess, because other people that work there are sort of, the other nurses, they're not terrible people, but they're just kind of like dismissive. And it's like, oh God, this job, it's like such a slog. It's like, it's just cleaning up piss and shit and vomit all day. And it's like, I wish I could do something else. And so she's kind of at odds with them a bit because she genuinely seems to want to help people. And she thought that other people in the nursing profession would also want to help people. And she's finding out that that's not the case. And another thing too is that she basically finds out that the doctors are essentially treated like, well, you can't question them, you can't really talk to them. I think even the matron says something to her to the effect of they're communicating above your level, so like, you know what I mean, like don't talk to them unless you're spoken to or whatever. Now, without really meaning to, she sort of breaks this rule on the first day because there's this doctor, and I guess that she had seen him. At some point, he had given like a lecture or something in one of her classes or something. And he had said something in his speech that sort of resonated with her. So I guess when she sees him on the ward, I think his name is Dr. Fisher, if I'm remembering it correctly. She sees him on the ward, so she decides that she's going to just ask him about it and say, "Oh, you know, I saw your lecture and I agreed with it, and you know, we should do this, that, and the other," because it seemed like he was really interested in the same things that she's interested in. Her main focus of interest is the relationship between health and poverty, because as I said, this is a very economically depressed area that she grew up in and that she's now working in. So, because she's speaking to the doctor, and he's actually quite, you know, he's very young, so he's not. He doesn't seem like quite as much of a dick as like a lot of these older doctors that are like, oh, the nurses, they're just so beneath us and we can't even like deign to speak to them or anything. So he kind of is like, okay, well, you can stay on the ward with me. And, you know, what do you think is wrong with this little girl? And, you know, so he kind of like gets her to open up to him. Now the matron sees this, gets pissed off. And the fact that the matron feels that Val has sort of undermined her authority on the very first day means that she wants to punish her a little bit. So she's like, well, basically, you're going to stay on for a whole nother shift and you're going to do the overnight shift. And as I mentioned earlier, this was a time when there were rolling blackouts. Now, obviously, some of the people in the wards, like people that were comatose or, you know, babies or things like that, can't be moved. So they said generally what we do is if they're going to do a blackout on in this area on this particular night, we'll move most of the patients to this other nearby hospital. However, we do have to have, you know, the neonatal, the, you know, the babies still have to be here, the comatose patients still have to be here. It's just that, you know, two wards, there'll be a generator. The rest of the hospital will be completely and utterly dark, and we have a skeleton staff here just to make sure that everything's all right. So that's what she gets roped into doing, as, like I said, as sort of a punishment for undermining the matron's authority. Now, you don't find out why until later on, which I'm not going to spoil because, like I said, this is a very, very, very new film. And so I don't want to, you know, do any spoilers or anything like that. But Valerie is terrified of the dark. They do have a couple of flashes as to why that might be, although, as I said, it doesn't really come clear until later on. So basically, she is stuck in this hospital with only a few other people. There's three other nurses, I believe, two of whom are friendly, but they're sort of like take this job and shove it types. One of the girls she had actually gone to nursing school with, and that girl is like kind of a bitch. And also, there is some reference to something that Val did back when she was at school and got a reputation about. And like I said, that also ties into the main story, although you don't find out exactly what happened until later on. And it ties into, you know, the shit that's going on at the hospital as well, because it's all kind of like thematically linked. So basically, she's there, and then there's like a guy that's sort of like a security guard type of guy, and he's kind of a skeeze. So there's all that shit going on. And there's also like one little patient who keeps like escaping everywhere. Her name is Saba, and she doesn't really speak much English. So into this kind of creepy hospital setting, you know, this little mousy girl that's afraid of the dark, these other kind of nurses that are sore over because they've been, you know, they've done this before, so it's no big deal to them. So she starts to experience the trappings of what is commonly known as a haunting. You know, she kind of sees it starts out very small where she's sort of walking through a ward, you know, all the lights go out, the generator doesn't come on, or the generator goes off, or whatever. And then, like, she starts feeling something like tugging at the back of her dress. There's nothing there, all this other kind of stuff. And then she starts sort of seeing things. There's also kind of this weird ash that's sort of coming out of the grate or whatever, and she kind of sees it on some of the comatose patient's hands, and it's like a little bit weird. So she's kind of like creeped out by all of this. And as the movie goes on, I will spoil. Okay, so this is kind of like it's a haunted hospital thing, but it also has a large possession element to it as well, which I'm not sure if I really liked that angle as much because I do kind of feel like it was, you know, very tropey as far as like possession goes. You know, you had the whole floating in the air, the whole, you know, doing crazy back bends and that kind of stuff. So it does kind of go in that direction. I think that I liked the movie better in the first half when it was more atmospheric. It kind of gave me a sort of vibe like maybe Session 9 or The Others or The Orphanage or anything like that. That's just kind of like this big institutional building that's empty and are largely empty and dark, and there may or may not be something creeping around in there. And so I think that all that kind of shit, and then like all the kind of shit about, you know, her relationship with the other nurses, her relationship with this, you know, skeezy guy, her relationship with this doctor, this other girl that she knew before, and this whole thing about her past, like what was going on with that. That was like really intriguing, and I really liked that. And like I said, the way it's shot, I can't remember the name of the cinematographer. I think it was Jennifer something, but I can't remember her last name. I apologize for that. But I really liked the cinematography. The look of it is, there was something like really appealing of it to me. It's very, you know, it's very British 1970s, so it's very subdued, but I don't know. There was something about it that I really liked. And I really liked the way her, like Val's very, very crisp, buttoned up uniform at the beginning was almost kind of contrasted against kind of this crappy looking hospital. You know what I mean? It was sort of this ramshackle looking thing with like these kind of terrible paintings on the wall of the children's ward and stuff. Not creepy, but they were just like not really very well done. But as I said, because this movie is so new, it's kind of hard for me to discuss too much about what's going on because I don't really want to spoil it. If you want to watch it, I would recommend it. Like I said, I don't usually do kind of star ratings or anything like that, but if I had to, it was a middle of the road. I mean, I found it a compelling, you know, haunting type story. Like I said, I think I liked the buildup of it better than the second half when it went more into like a straight out. It's not possession in the sense of like demon possession, but it's a ghost story, but there is a possession element to it. And I did like that, and I liked the resolution. I liked the theme of it. I liked the message of it. Because like I said, you know, the power, the title doesn't just refer to the electricity, the rolling blackouts, but it also refers to sort of the power structure of this hospital, of society at large, particularly in this time period. So there is some of that in there. And I liked that aspect of it as well. I did find the middle of it a little bit confusing. Like for a little bit, I wasn't really sure what was going on. You know what I mean? Because I think they kind of, they strung some clues along as to what was happening, what had happened to her in the past, you know, that made her afraid of the dark, what had happened in the past that made this other nurse, like this friend of hers, like be so bitchy toward her, why she had a reputation, you know. So it did resolve itself later on, but for a little while in the middle, I was kind of like, well, wait a minute, what does that mean? What's going on with this? But it did resolve itself in the end. I did like too that they kind of left it, you know, as much as I said that I was a little confused in the middle, but as I said that I did resolve, that did resolve itself later. But I liked for a long time, it was sort of, because I, you know, I'm a big fan of ambiguity, so I really liked that it was kind of ambiguous as to whether the hospital was really haunted, whether this ghost was really there, whether that person was still alive, whether Val just had these emotional problems that were, you know, causing her to see these things or causing her to freak out because she was so stressed out because of the darkness and the new job and how everyone was treating her and stuff. So I do kind of like that whole thing was going on in there too, which, like I said, it probably contributes to why I wasn't a huge fan of it going like full on possession at the end, but, you know, or towards the end. But, you know, that said, like I said, it's just a solid, you know, 3-star watch. If you like real atmospheric British ghost story type films, like I said, anything like, you know, that's set in an institution that's empty, if you like that kind of shit, then you will probably dig this. It's a perfectly entertaining film. It's a subdued, like I said, it's, you know, it's a British ghost story. It's not like action packed or anything, but I liked all the acting. I really liked the interactions between the characters. I think that was probably my favorite part of it, was like all the character work. And I really liked kind of the exploration of the power dynamic, particularly in this hospital, you know, the kind of, you know, where all the doctors were all these kind of creepy old men and like all the nurses were like these young women, and how it was sort of like, you know, the power dynamic, the gender dynamic. So I really, really liked that aspect of it. But, you know, it's not reinventing the wheel as far as, you know, haunted hospital movies go, as far as possession movies go. It had kind of a lot of the same tropey kind of stuff. Not a lot of jump scares, which I appreciated. But yeah, it was just like a good middle of the road atmospheric type, you know, British ghost story. And if that sounds like something that you would like, then probably you should watch it. Because I dug it. I had a good time watching it. I wasn't bored at any point. It, kept me interested up until the end. I was interested in the mystery, in resolving what had gone on with her past and everything like that. So, as I said, this is a very, very new movie, 2021. It's on Shudder at the moment, presumably in all English-speaking countries, at least in the US it is, and I'm assuming it's UK and Australia as well. So, if it sounds good to you, then go and check it out and let me know what you thought about it in the comments, and I will see you on the next one. Bye.